Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty Father and Mother, Creator and Sustainer, Giver of life and all good, what a blessed presence it is that calls us here, that reveals ourselves to us, and reveals you and our place in you. What a blessing it is to be called deeper, to be led certainly, to be given the rock of faith upon which to build the new consciousness, the new man. Move tonight in each of us, Lord, to establish open minds and open hearts, willing and receptive to your word, so that it might come to life in us, and so that our lives might become alive in your word. Move in each of us in clear and obvious ways to make it evidently obvious that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. This we pray in the transcendent, the omnipresent, and the immanent, your divine indwelling. Amen.
Place of deep rest. We'll now rest with God and his word on this, the third week of Lent. We'll listen with the ear of the heart for just a word that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us this evening. For our transformation in Christ. Our first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people and said, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and the decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Therefore, I teach you the statutes and decrees as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land that you are entering to occupy. Observe them carefully, for thus you will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear all of these statutes and say, 'This great nation is a truly wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I'm setting before you today? However, take care and be earnestly on your guard not to forget the things which you have, your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live, but teach them to your children and to your children's children." The word of the Lord. Our psalm is 147. The response: Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. He sends forth his command to the earth. Swiftly runs his word. He spreads snow like wool. He strews frost like ashes. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not done this for any other nation. His ordinances he has not made known to them. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. You have the words of everlasting life. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these, the least of these commandments, and teaches others to do so, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
The work has a summary phrase in the description of the universe. Very simple. The universe is response to request. The universe is response to request. The allegory in Genesis manifests this for us. Let there be, and there was. This is the archetypal form of participation in a universe which essentially mirrors human intention back to itself, which mirrors every action with a corresponding, get the word, reaction. It's a world of infinite possibilities. It's a world that is not its own cause. It's a world in which we've been placed and have to participate. So, how do you do that? Infinite possibility, infinite creativity. Well, early peoples tried various ways of connecting the dots, of organizing things. And they had an idea that there must be something greater than this, and so they tried to have various relationships with it through nature, or through the worship of certain idols, or through the participation in certain traditions. There's always been a sense that there's got to be a right way to do this. There's got to be a way to connect the dots in this universe in which there's me and my tribe, and there's some other ones and their tribe and some other ones. And we seem to have a cause, and we seem to need help to get things to go our way because they just don't go our way. People don't act like you think they should. What do you do? Storm comes and wrecks everything. What do you do? Well, the human being, as it evolved, became increasingly capable of organizing systems according to its will, of getting that the universe's response to request. The requests were usually made with force. The requests were usually domination and control and ownership, pride and self-elevation. When the time was ripe, the source of existence revealed itself to a certain tribe of people. And it told that people how the system works. It told that people how the system works in relation of selves to others and others to selves. It told of how the work works best if one is in relation to the cause of us. And all the usness, whether it be mountains or oceans or people or creatures. And it did not do that for any other nation, is what this is telling us. The Jews are a chosen people. Now, when I was young and heard that, it was the kind of thing, who do they think they are, chosen people? I bet you had that somewhere in you too. But there's nothing like that. That's where the fire started. That's where the download came first. That's where the lightning struck from heaven, where the cause of things exists, and came to earth, where the effects of these very dependent organisms take that gift and use it or don't. But the Judeo-Christian tradition is based simply on the idea of relationship of the greater to the lesser, in which the greater is the proposing partner. It takes the initiative. You're not going to build me any altar that I need, and you can't find me in the mountain, and you won't find me on the sea. I'm going to reveal myself to you. And it won't have anything to do with what you did. But I'm going to show you, and this is right where we're going to start, with this tribe here, because I'm going to reveal to the whole human race how things work and how they can participate in my life intelligently and harmoniously and in a balanced way. So, in Numbers it says, he has not revealed this to any other nation. And the psalmist says, he has not revealed this to any other nation. And if we're not careful, we'll think of those in prideful ways. Oh, we've got it and they don't. No, it's not like that at all. Everything starts somewhere. And the knowledge of the one God who is in relationship to his people by his initiative and not theirs was vested in the trust of Israel. And when Moses is asking the people to treat these commandments that he enjoins on them today with the care and devotion and respect, and teach them to your children and your children's children, you'll hear psalmists saying over and over again, these are more valuable than silver or gold. This is how it works. Simple. Here are some fundamental laws that govern how the causes that people make will be effects that come back to them. Here are some other rules that teach you how to be in a really good relationship with the author of things, with the doer of what is done. Keep these commandments and you will prosper. Keep these commandments and you will go right where you want to go, more than you could ever dream. But that word commandment, rules and laws, as it is echoed down through the corridors of time, has taken on a completely different character than that which was invested in it by the Creator. Now it feels like something's going to confine my randomness. Something's going to limit my capacity to do whatever whim strikes me at the moment. Something's going to confine me and limit me. And so, yes, I recognize that these things are there, but you know what? It's okay. Well, see, how it was in consciousness back then is very different than how it is in consciousness now. Because there was a time when people did enshrine these commandments on their hearts. And there was a time, and there were times, when the people of Israel lived in very total response to the above, as it manifested in the below, and treated the outsider with kindness, stranger was welcomed and cared for. All of that was at one time so. But after a while, you get used to things. And like any relationship, it tends to get a little more casual. And pretty soon, it's generation by generation handed down as was instructed, but now as words. Now as, you know, that's true. I think you can see it, that's true. That's the way a person ought to live. But unless this is coming straight off the wire and into our hearts, realizing that we are Israel, we are the people of God, we are the ones to whom this word has been spoken. Until we get that it started in history and is revealed through history, but is experienced by every generation as some now truth. Israel is you and me. Jerusalem is our hearts. And what has been revealed to us, we don't have to have an argument about whether the Hindus are equal to us, or whether this leaves the Buddhists out in the cold, or whether Islam. None of that is essential. What's essential is, do you hear this word? This is the Creator who said, let there be, and there was, telling us how to participate as His image-likeness creations in a world that's still created exactly as it was then. Let there be, and there is. The power of the word is astonishing, and you can read a lot about it in James. It tells it, elaborates it more there. But the power of the word is what vibrates manifestation. You can see it in YouTube videos about kymatics, science of kymatics, the power of vibrations to manifest the shapes of matter. It's just the basis of everything. And scientists are now discovering that human intention actually manifests form changes. Are we surprised? It's only because we've gotten so diluted, so filled with possibilities. Maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. We didn't understand that the law wasn't meant to confine us, but to liberate us. Because every one of those rules is about harmony, about balance. Has there ever been a nation whose laws, whose God was so just as our God? Well, what does just mean? It means balanced. Balanced. Wisdom is balancing us all the time. We live in a universe that not only is response to request, but it's also a perfectly tuned balancing mechanism. And the balance of the pluses and the balance of the minuses will in some way eventually come to equal each other. That's just the way it's set up. And if generation after generation after generation people don't get this, it doesn't mean it's less true. It means we just don't get it. That the reason Moses is saying, tell this to your children. Don't ever let this out of your awareness. Because in a second you can be seduced into reveries and dreams of power and control and wealth and riches in a world that's dust. Your God is a spirit, he said. And so are you, spirits. Spirits in matter have certain fundamental principles that guide their participation with each other and with their source. If those fundamental principles are honored and acknowledged, harmony and abundance results. Simple as that. But as you can see, historically, it's been impossible for us to take these words off a page and put them into a moment that is the moment of God, the Kairos moment. Prophets came reminding, hey, you guys, remember Israel was once favored. God wants something from us. He's made us the vineyard, and he wants wine out of his wine press. And the prophets would tell that if Israel doesn't come back to center, come back to harmony and justice, that it's going to be off balance and it'll fall down. Not as punishment, because it's not according to principles. It's principles that govern creation. The incapacity of people to manifest anything but resistance to rules has been overcome in the person of the Christ, who manifested on the stage of history the summation of all these laws, the summation of all the rules. Love is the satisfaction of the law. Love brings about what the law tried to bring about. Just do it this way and don't do it that way, because that makes it all crooked and makes waves. But people didn't understand. And so this guy who revealed the law through Moses, revealed the truth through his manifested son, through an image and likeness creation that occurred on this earth just like man, and he showed us what love is. It's not like Hallmark cards. It's not the slightest bit sappy. It is patient. It is kind. It is never jealous or envious or boastful or proud, takes no delight in the difficulties of others, doesn't puff itself up. Everything else is going to come and go, but love will never pass away, because love is the nature of this whole Creator that made this manifest existence. Love is what keeps the particles together, keeps it from flying apart in all these different directions. And when human beings learn to value love more than they value being right, or storing up a lot of monopoly money, or being seen well, when we want that, we will get it, because the universe is response to request. Now, this thatness that I'm referring to is what was spoken of as the promised land in Deuteronomy, what's called the new man in our Christian time. It's rebirth. It's a whole new identity that comes to consciously and purposefully live under your social security number and at your address. What's different is not on the outside. It's what's different is on the inside, where we feel ourselves and where we know what can't be spoken, because when you speak it, it's not it anymore. Love is a qualitative thing. Love isn't being obedient. Love is being open and free to the flow of life, the vibratory flow of life that's coming into the universe, the manifested forms it takes to reveal itself. And it invites us to participate, not to corral us in, because love always wants more love for those it loves. When you love someone, you always want the best for them, and you want more best for them. The author of love itself loves us personally, loves each one of us, and loves each one of the ones that we don't find love for. So the hunger for truth in our hearts is not a hunger for a statement. It is a hunger for a state of consciousness, a state of consciousness that was represented by Israel, that was represented by the Yahweh, that was represented by the historical personage of Jesus, but now wants to be represented in the simple way we accept our ordinary lives, in this extraordinary awareness of our absolute dependence for every breath and swallow, for every breath of air, for every heartbeat. None of this belongs to us. None of this can be explained. You can tell stories about it, but ultimately that anything is at all is astonishing. That we can work with it and speak words that become manifested things. Let there be an Empire State Building, and there is. Let there be a Church of Conscious Harmony, there is. Let there be love between people, there is. What do we want? This is a universe that is response to request. But only certain kinds of requests satisfy the human heart, satisfy the hunger for reality in our hearts. And so our church is established as a place where we can work together to learn how to bear each other's ordinary humanity and God's extraordinary love. It's a place where we can learn that what we're passing down the generations is not words, but a quality of consciousness that we model for each other and carry into the world as a witness to the fact that the God revealed through Moses and the God revealed through Jesus is the real God of the universe, and He loves us just like we are, and He took care of our past due bills, our balance due, and it's all been wiped clean, the slate's clean. Every second is a brand new moment. Every second is a new decision. Every second is a new opportunity to ask for what a human heart truly needs. Teach me to love, Lord. Teach me to bear your love for me. Oh, Lord, that's the hardest thing of all, to let you love me. But if this creation is made of love, it all coalesces because it is. This love is unrelenting. This love will never let us go. I will never leave you or forsake you, he said. Don't be afraid, little flock. So what do? Jacob Needleman very kindly invited me to his house one time. And as we were talking, I was talking about some changes I might make in my life in order to become more harmonious with the teaching. And he said, change nothing. Leave everything exactly as it is. Bring it all to consciousness and let consciousness bring it to love. He has not taught other nations this way, not because they're wrong or bad, but because how the system works is everything starts somewhere and it spreads from there. So if we catch love from each other, what a good thing. Amen. Let's take up the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always. Amen.